This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with
Audrey Raj
and Christine Wong.
Just a quick reminder what we're talking about today. We are saying, imagine going to the doctor with a chronic problem and instead of giving you a pill, they prescribe you fruit and vegetables. This is a suggestion that researchers over in the US are suggesting. How would it make you feel if you received such a prescription? Cassandra Lee immediately responded saying, I'd call him or her a new age charlatan, LOL. I can understand that fruit and vegetables are good to maintain a healthy lifestyle, but I'm rather skeptical that with just fruit and vegetables alone, we can heal a chronic problem like cancer. I think like what Christine was kind of touching on earlier on, It's more of a holistic approach. And what they're suggesting is that over time, you know, something like this and a healthier lifestyle in general should help to reduce not just the amount of chronic diseases like cancer and diabetes, but the overall cost. So that's the idea behind that. I hope that clarifies a little bit, maybe. Anyway, keep the messages coming via Twitter, via WhatsApp and whatnot. What have we got, Ords, over on Twitter?
Also, there's another one here from Gerard Law who says, depends on the chronic problem. If it's obesity, I guess that kind of makes sense. But if I have cancer and he asks me to eat a fruit, yeah, he's probably a quack.
Yeah.
There's another one here. I think this is from Winnie Lou, who said, is this what the world is coming to?
Currently, it's what America is coming to.
Yeah.
They also have Trump, remember?
The world. Yeah. On WhatsApp here, we've got Maggie Best, one of our regular messengers in, who says, at last, a holistic cure attitude. Eastern medical treatment has always been well aware of the importance of correct nutrition to prepare the body to respond positively to prescribed medicines. And Western home cures have been arrogantly brushed aside by modern medicine. The human body functions and characteristics, I believe, have not changed since Adam and Eve. And I would be inclined to agree with most of that. I think that, you know, it has to be a balance. Your own lifestyle should try to aim to be healthy as possible, but also that's why medicines can work.
Speaking of medicines,
this is a tweet from Darshan who says, white people's bathroom cabinets in movies always baffles the beep out of me. They take pills for everything.
Yeah.
True. Can confirm. White person speaking here. Uh-huh. Moving on. Story number two. Right. So we did a story last week. The story was about
investments. Story last week was essentially asking the questions, about what funders might discuss behind a startup's back. You know, what kind of questions are they asking themselves and what are the signs they're looking for in a company that would make them fund them? And that was from Fast Company based on a Q&A with Maynard Webb, who is the former CEO of eBay. Now, what we're doing today is we're actually hearing a little bit from a TEDx talk by Alicia Surrett. She is the CEO of Pentagram Capital in the US, but also a frequent on-air personality on MSNBC and CNBC discussing investment, right? So she basically goes through five different things that, entrepreneurs, the mistakes that they make that would get investors to say no. And the first thing are just rookie mistakes.
Don't pitch investors without researching them first. They may not even invest in your industry, in your geography, or your stage of growth. Also, don't blast out your pitch indiscriminately to hundreds of investors. They already received their fair share of cold emails. So if you haven't already obtained a warm introduction through a mutual contact, they might just pass.
Yeah. So, you know, like it's about exactly what kind of investor you're looking at, right? So if you're an entrepreneur thinking, okay, it's time to grow, it's time to get more funding, you've got to really do your research. You've got to ask yourself, okay, what stage, what kind of deal do these investment companies do? You know, are they even within my location? How much capital do they actually invest in a company on average? And does that fit my growth, plan? So that's that sort of thing. Then she talked about kind of character and fit, right? You've got to really think about not just the financial aspect of these companies, but also are these investors going to be personally and emotionally invested in my business, not just financially as well?
Don't just focus on your introductory pitch. Pay close attention to the way that the conversation unfolds over time, how quickly you respond to their diligence requests, and the quality of your answers. Don't forget to get them excited about working with you, because if you're giving them the impression that it's difficult to work with you in any way, they're probably just going to say no.
Like, I think a lot of people think about, you know, when you pitch for funding, it's just a pitch and then you do it, you get the money, yay, done. Yeah. But it's not that. It's, you know, building that relationship with this person and this company so that your company can benefit from them as well, and to really make sure that you guys fit in all aspects, you know, not just financially speaking. She then talks about, you know, business basics as well. So to have these really strong fundamentals of your business, to not focus on small, highly competitive markets, and to, you know, anyone can have an idea, but you have to show traction as well.
Investors know that ideas are a dime a dozen, but execution is what really matters. So if you're not showing things like initial customers or partnerships or accolades, investors might just say no. Don't forget about the numbers. You must know your financials, revenues, gross margins, metrics, profitability. If the numbers aren't compelling and core to your story, investors will probably say no.
The last thing that Alicia discusses in this TEDx talk is, you know, what happens if the investor just made a mistake, right? They're human too. They may pass on the opportunity to fund your company even though it wasn't the right decision for either of you, right? So what do you do? And what she said is that you have two options. You either give up because maybe you being rejected for funding means you're not ready for that. You're not ready to have this company. Or you take that and you double down even harder to do more research, to find the right people, to get your company to maybe even a place where you don't even need external funding anymore.
I like the idea of, this is interesting because what she's saying, parts of it are different to what I've heard as well. You know, I've heard what she said there about how people want to see you being excited about your product, which is great, you know, and I've heard that many, many times. But I've also heard that if you are too excited about your product and you're too caught up in your own product, you kind of don't see the bigger picture and you need somebody to just give you a quick...
Yeah, I think it's really about balance, right? You know, you've really got to not only be excited about your product, but get them excited about your trajectory. Get, you know, your investor excited about that relationship with you.
Yeah.
How can they help you grow as well, you know, and what does that bring them?
And also, you know, get them excited about what's on, what's in black and white as well. What you're presenting to them is not just about your attitude, you know, during the pitch, but get them excited with what's on paper, what your company has the potential to do. Does it have potential to scale and things like that, how it will grow, you know, that way you get them excited that way and they will see more benefits to investing in
you. A big word there, scale, you know, can they see potential for it? I mean, where does that market end? Does it keep going? Is it, you know, we had a brief chat earlier on about something very simple about how perhaps this product might have 1% market share. And when it doubles, it has 2% market share. And of course, logically, that makes sense. But if you are somebody who's going, oh, we're going to double, 2% is still nothing, really.
Yeah,
2%
yeah.
is nothing. And yet you're still as excited, you're still working as hard, but you really haven't penetrated much more into that market, right?
And it's all about perspective. So sometimes when you're in that bubble, all you can think about is, oh, we're going to double our market share, you know? But then again, what is that double?
Yeah, double of nothing is still nothing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
Really interesting stuff. Thank you very much, Chris. Right, moving on, we have to take a very short break. Have we got any more feedback we want to talk about, Auds?
Yes, we do. There's one here from Isaiah Saul who says, instead of prescribing fruits and vegetables, just put them on a brochure, leaflet, video, or any content consumable without needing the patient to consult the doctor. The only reason patients go to a doctor is most likely because they've ran out of options themselves.
Yeah.
Either that or they've just gone, I hurt, I need a doctor now.
Yeah.
I have also prescribed that one too.
We also have a really interesting WhatsApp here from Benji who says, I have a product which is basically frozen fruit that once processed, the product can be kept for a few years frozen, but when it's thawed, it's as good as fresh and the fruit is in optimum ripeness as if you're eating it at the farm during harvest with no chemicals to artificially ripen it. However, price is an issue. A stick of fruit will cost like a stick of premium ice cream and consumers here may not pay for it, especially with you know, a company like MBG selling fruits everywhere. But is it GMO fruit? Is it organic? You know, has it been artificially ripened? We'll never know.
So that's the thing, right? Because with fruits and vegetables, they're perishables. And you want to, with meds, you know, you can kind of keep them on the shelf for maybe a year and it should be fine. But with, if you've been prescribed and subsidized fruits and veg and they're just sitting in the fridge, they're not going to last, are they? So you can't just have them as and when you like. You got to get to them.
Mm-hmm. Benji, I'd like to hear more from you. If you could email me, please, that would be very nice. richard@bfm.my. Seriously, richard@bfm.my. Let's have a chat. Okay, we're going to take a very short break. We've got music coming up from the Electric Light Orchestra with Rock and Roll is King. When we get back, less than 5% success rate for fresh graduate interviews. Seems like an awfully low number. So what did we do? We spoke to some fresh grads. We've got some sound bites. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.